In Murder at Camp Delta, Hickman writes that none of his guards, who had a clear view of the camp and the medical clinic, saw any detainees moved from their cells to the clinic. Hickman himself watched the white van return to camp and drive directly to the clinic, though he was unable to see what was unloaded from the van because his view was blocked. Two guards who had unobstructed views of the walkways connecting the clinic with the cell blocks confirmed to Horton that they had seen no prisoners taken there from the cells. Hickman and Adyafi remained steadfast in the conclusion that it was impossible that these men died by suicide in their cells. This was murder, Hickman said, adding, "I think about it every single day." Adyafi explains that he and his brothers, fellow detainees, always did everything in their power to prevent a suicide from occurring. "I can't say exactly what happened," he told me. "Something, they were killed." Additional mysterious deaths followed over the years. In all, 9 detainees have died at the prison. Allegations of cover-ups emerged, but the deaths remained shrouded in secrecy. With few exceptions, no one really cared. Even the preposterous story put forward about these suicides failed to shock the public into condemning the ongoing travesty of justice that Guantanamo represents. The narrative that these men did something terrible and deserved to be imprisoned for it defines the very nature of the post-9/11 response. It doesn't matter that the original accusations against many of them were flimsy and easily disapproved. Due process and presumption of innocence, the defining values of the American ideal of justice, would be forever denied them. The vague language of enemy combatants and terrorists dehumanized men across the West Asia region to the point at which the U.S. was able to commit profound abuses of human rights with impunity and public support. Americans were convinced in the years after 9/11 that the men locked in Guantanamo or being killed in drone strikes abroad or tortured in CIA black sites were sworn enemies of the U.S. regime who deserved to die before they could cause more senseless death. And so the atrocities followed, committed over multiple administrations on a global battlefield where U.S. forces played judge, jury, and executioner against terrorists and enemy combatants who also happened to be farmers, taxi drivers, mothers, children, producing an unbearable human toll exposed only by painstaking reporting. Renewing calls for justice for the men who died at Guantanamo feels like an exercise in futility, yet those permanently maimed by Guantanamo refuse to stop seeking justice. I would like to see the people that were behind it held responsible, but it's never gonna happen, Hickman says, adding, "I think it was murder, and it should never go away. It should be investigated until it's solved." The deceit and lies and cover-ups of the worst moments in post-9/11 history have created an endless stage of hypocrisy for all the world to see. Ahmad Eradici, a Moroccan chef, wrongly imprisoned for years at Guantanamo, said that the longer the injustice at the detention camp continues, the more damage it does to the reputation and legacy of American culture, American principles, and American morals. He called for former Guantanamo detainees to be allowed to finally testify before Congress and for victims of CIA torture to be allowed to take the American government to court.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Lovely listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. In the studio with me, I have the privilege and honor of being joined by Sister Salma Khalfan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you so very much for being with us, sharing your time with us.
The pleasure is mine.
Thank you. Do you think, from your experience of working with so many families in the community, that is it the case that if a woman does not pick up those skills from her family, because some families are really broken, then if she enters her family, then they're doomed and there's no hope for her? Or there is hope that perhaps she can learn from a certain stage onwards? Would you recommend couple counseling? Are these things helpful at all? And whether she can turn a new leaf to not repeat that vicious cycle of abusive families?
Yes, of course. Of course. They're all doors are open, you know, for improvement. Again, like it's a process of growth that keeps on happening. And if she is like really making the right steps, then she's empowered in the process. Like if she learns how to control her anger when she sees her spouse is so angry, then and she learns how to, you know, take the sweet morsel of anger, which is like appears like a mountain out there, then you see that she's empowered and she's like she gets that power in the family, and it goes on. Like the children also see the behavior of the parent, you know, in these kind of confrontations, and they learn how to respect in the process.
So it's important for the woman to pick her battles, you know, don't nitpick over everything and turn everything into an argument. Yeah. It's bound to happen when two people live so close to each other. There's bound to be conflict and disagreements, especially since they were raised in different families and backgrounds and mindsets. And that's, I think that's very interesting that you said that sometimes just say, you know what, you're right, I'm wrong. Yeah. Let's not talk about this anymore.
There's a istilah on it. There's a kind of say, let's agree to disagree.
Yeah, let's just let it be. Yeah. And then if, like you said, if you chose the right man from the very beginning and he has an ounce of sense.
In fact, even that has a lot of challenges. Mm. Even if you do choose a spouse, the right spouse, you know, you overall generally choose, right? But there's so many like
details.
Yeah, details that you find out in the end that, oh my God, this is the same man. But anyway, that's the challenge. And if you know, you go on your life doing the right things, the compassion sets in. And that that love sets in. Maybe sometime later, if at the time that you are so full of energy and, you know, everything is so much at the age and the peak, then you'll feel that, oh, maybe you made a mistake. But when you go along being patient, you know, curbing your anger, things like that, then you come to realize, oh, it paid off. Yeah. I know of many couples who think that way and who realize that, you know, like their men not giving them attention, even if they promised them that they would take them out, for example, and the lady being all dressed up and waiting for the man and he comes at 11, 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
But the woman just tells him that, I waited for you. That's it. I waited for you. Because you have to like talk to.
Yeah, communication
you can't just,
is so
keep
important.
On drinking you everything. Then, then you'll just
blow.
Yeah. So you let me down, like in a slow tone. You let me down. I waited for you. Then the man realizes, that tone was so, you know, serene and composed.
Yeah.
And he realizes
she didn't lash out. She has so much self-control.
Yeah.
She respects me still, though I hurt her.
Yeah, the adab should be there.
Yeah.
The adab should be maintained in every way. Even if you want to really, like, quarrel, say it with adab. That this is not a fair thing that you did.
That is so important. God, it's so hard for that moment.
And, you know, the beautiful thing is that Allah forgives the mistakes of the couples. You know, like it's not as if that if you do this, this is the perfect scenario. Huh? It's a perfect scenario. But if you don't do them and then you, you know, apologize, like sometimes that I do, then I guess Allah is the returner. He returns. He returns you. He forgives you. And then you learn step by step. But a clever woman will think, uh-huh, what's the best that I could do? Exactly. Start it off with adab, her life with adab, good etiquette, good akhlaq. Even if I want to say something of my decision, my choice, I will say it, but I'll say it in a beautiful way, with adab.
That's so
the
important.
Right words I'll choose. I'll never ever say a bad word to my husband so that I can regret it, like insulting each other. That's a very bad thing, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Muslim Lady. We are going to go for a short break, so stay tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
I guess this is very important empowerment that Islam brings about for a devoted, and like you kept saying, a smart Muslim lady, yeah. That through these aspects with which she has to grapple and struggle and wrestle and test and try herself so much, she achieves such a degree of growth, such a degree of proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such an extent of self-betterment, yeah. That I really can't think of any sort of empowerment more important than that. Because at the end of the day, why would we empower people? Yeah. So that they could be better people, so that they could contribute to society, exactly. To make the world a better place.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you're going to be useless about it,
and
what's the point?
Also to climb the ladder of perfection, right? For themselves, exactly, in this world, yeah. And the hereafter. One of the other factors that I think we should talk about is love and mercy.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Love is something that is, you know, everywhere. It's like a spread around the world.
Mm.
That's the element that is so required. Allah also, you know, loves. In the Quran, he mentions, "Inna Allah yuhibbut tawwabin, inna Allah yuhibbul sabirin, inna Allah yuhibbul mutatahirin, inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin."
He loves the repentance.
Yeah, he loves.
And
you
the
know,
patient.
He says, "Muhabbat is coming." That Muhabbat, halidin illa al-hub,
is religion,
yeah,
religion, anything but
anything
love.
But love.
Beautiful.
Because you climb that ladder of perfection, and that is when you get near to Allah's good qualities that makes you give out that positive energy of
it
love.
It reflects.
Yeah, it reflects, yeah. Your manifestation of that, the quality of love. And one of the name of Allah is Wud, Al-Wadud. Al-Wadud. And you know, Mawadda, you know, like Mawadda and Rahma should be between a spouse, right? That love and mercy.
Right.
So Wud is a two-way street. Like you want Allah to love you, and you also want to love Allah. Ashik and Ma'ashuk, like, you know. So here, like...
So Al-Wadud, which is the name of Allah, basically means the love giver.
To enhance love also, it's a good zikr to recite to enhance love
Beautiful.
Among the people. And of course, we need this zikr so much because we want Allah to love us in that perfect way. Of course, Allah loves us. But you know that a love, that the special mercy.
Special kind of love,
So that is a beautiful thing to ask for. You know, naturally, a woman has this emotionality in her. But she sometimes, you know, is reckless about it. The emotionality, and it takes
it
her
frustrated,
angry, because emotional. So intellectual emotionality is very important when to use your emotionality the right way.
Uh-huh.
So as we said, respect should be there, but love and mercy should also be there. So sometimes, you know, we don't know how to draw the line between them. Yeah, we feel if we respect somebody, we can't show them love.
We have to show
them love.
We're scared
also.
Of getting intimate.
Yeah. Mm. So love to show is so important. Love is supposed to be shown in different ways, okay? Love should be shown in words. Love should be shown in actions. Love also can be shown in a very beautiful way through your creativity. Like when you go to somebody's house as guests, if they cook the best food for you, you'd love them.
Now you feel so loved.
So this is how a man more so, because he comes hungry and tired at home and everything.
Sure.
And if he turns to the, you know, hygiene. Hygienic food and the food that is rightly balanced and what he loves also. So it increases that appreciated him.
Yeah.
And the wife has shown love to him, and he will even return back that love.
Because he will really feel like, oh, she spent the last 3 hours of her day really thinking about me and putting energy, time and effort into making something that would fill my tummy and give me strength. Yeah. And it's something that I love. You know, it's such a wonderful display of love.
Yeah. And he would feel like going out that, you know, eating with his friends or something. If he knows that the wife does everything she can to make him happy, even if the wife should ask him, the morning, what do you feel like eating?
Yeah.
Although there's a rewired to say that eat what your wife's like.
Yeah,
you know?
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's because they feel like, you know, they do so much work and energy and things like that. So, but it's good for a wife to be smart enough to say that, you know, like, please tell us, tell me what you feel like tomorrow, for example. If it's very on the spot for the same day, maybe he goes very early or something like that, and the parent is busy with the children, then she can ask him a day before, okay, what do you want me to make tomorrow? What do you like? What's important for you? It makes the intimacy better when you go out, you know, together with your family. It makes it a very atmosphere of love, you know, is brought about. So love is a two-way street, but it should be started more by the one who has that power more to give it.
Uh-huh.
And that's a woman. She is more emotional, but we say that she has to channel that emotionality in the right way. That is the intellectual emotionality, not that reckless emotionality.
Impulsiveness
or something like that. Yeah. So, you know, with her children, she could be very intellectually emotional, but sometimes she lags behind with her husband. With her children, she'll know what to talk to them so that he cannot or she cannot develop this attitude, you know, or not to talk certain things in front of the children.
Mm.
So with her husband, she should also, you know,
mind these things,
very important. Yeah, love and mercy also.
Because sometimes marriage isn't always 50-50.
Yeah,
it's 20-80, you know? And sometimes that person is like at their worst. Sometimes I once came across this really interesting quote that you got to love your spouse on days that they don't seem very lovable. And that's mercy.
Yeah. It's like, you know, du'ay makarimul akhlaq. It's not that the akhlaq that teaches you to be good to the ones who are good to you.
Mm.
It's teach you to be good to the ones who are bad to you.
Awesome.
Sil man qata'ak wa'afu man haramak. Do sil rahmi with the ones who does qati rahmi with you. Wa'afu man dhalamak.
Forgive
them with the ones who were oppressive to you. And wa'ati man haramak. Give them to the ones who deprived you. So that's makarimul akhlaq, which we are trained for. So that should be shown, I think. That's mercy. Mawadda and rahma. And Allah is teaching us this every time, right? All the chapters of the Quran begin with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. His mercy outweighs all his attributes, you know. The
for
mercy
sure.
is so beautiful. A merciful person is never in the loss. He's always in the gain. Even if the husband is, for example, not giving enough and receiving that mercy, the most he could do is feeling so ashamed of himself and keeping quiet. The fitrat is there. It'll tell him, now it's too much, you know. Just keep quiet. It's better. If you don't want to appreciate, keep quiet.
At least keep quiet.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But the love and mercy in the end, it provides beautiful fruits and the woman is empowered. And you know what? The beautiful thing is that when a person gives love, not only do they get more reward, but they get more pleasure also. And if you have somebody to love, consider yourself as lucky because it's like a gift you're giving to Allah.
Mm.
Allah says, Al-Khalqu Ayalullah. Love my people also the same way that you know, you love yourself.
Mm.
Love my people. Very important to show your love.
It's so sad the way you see a lot of people that when they go into the society, they put up this facade.
Person doesn't realize that, oh my God, I'm being hypocritical. Outside you're so smiley and so good. You may be the winner outside. Everybody loves you. But inside your home, but it's the opposite in Islam. Islam wants you to be inside so beautiful and so like loving. Outside you don't talk anything. It's okay. It's not wajib when you
Yeah, exactly. Who are you trying to impress?
Yeah, exactly. And they wouldn't even, it doesn't even create that importance even to the person. You know, you're talking outside, if you're being your best, the person will think, okay, that's normal. Or maybe, okay.
Well, I'd say this was a very fruitful discussion, and I hope that there was some positive takeaway for our listeners. That's all the time we have for today's episode of Muslim Lady. But until another salam and greeting, I leave you all in the care and protection of the Almighty.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a bezel of wisdom from the Holy Prophet's 8th infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, on respect for parents. God punishes people for two sins in this world: injustice and ungratefulness towards parents.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. with the light. Five young and rare Bonelli's eagles born on a breeding farm in France are taking a journey to Spain, where they will be released into the wild. These eaglets were born in captivity, which is a rare feat for these endangered species. Three of the five are ready to be released and have been fitted with GPS microchips for tracking purposes. Their initial release date was delayed because of several weeks of bird flu, which made traveling impossible. The other two eagles are too young to be reintroduced and are still being hand-fed from behind the curtain. They will make the journey sometime in July. The breeders, however, are worried about how to sustain the program as their birds begin to age.
The Bonelli's eagle is a species that is relatively scarce. In France, we must have about 40 couples, something like that, who produce about 20 chicks per year. Here, we have five chicks, but my birds are very old. Still, five chicks is not nothing for a species which relies on a small reproduction number.
Pacto also says his five pairs of eagles are aged between 18 and 30 years, and three of them are now too old to breed. He says the number of Bonelli's eagles had dropped dramatically since the 1980s, mainly to electrocution on high-voltage lines. Due to the reintroduction program, the population of these eagles has nearly doubled over the past two decades. Another breakthrough in the world of science. Japanese scientists move one step closer to creating lifelike robots by changing their physical appearance. Researchers at the University of Tokyo have developed living skin on a robotic finger. To that aim, they have submerged the robot's finger into a cylinder filled with a mixture of the natural skin components. The lab-grown skin is water-repellent, has wrinkles, and can heal itself. A member of the research team explains how the innovation will be helpful in the future. Let's take a listen.
As for challenges in the future, since we've only produced a simple skin, we would like to add various sensory organs, such as the nervous system and the vascular system. We would like to further improve the function of the skin. Once we complete that, I believe that the skin itself could be used for transplantation, or use the skin as a model to develop cosmetics or drugs, or for leather products that do not require harming the animal, or to cover prosthetic limbs and legs.
The lab-grown skin is much weaker than the natural type. It's unable to survive long without nutrient supply and waste removal. For now, the team plans to address those issues and also include more sophisticated features. They want to add hair follicles, sweat glands, and sensory neurons to the skin. A Belgian company is trying to combat urban waste by transforming used coffee grounds into edible mushrooms that can also be used in construction. The mycelium is grown in a damp cellar in Brussels. Some 5 tons of coffee grounds are collected each month from partner cafes. They are then mixed in drums where the oyster mushroom spores are added and mixed with straw in a sack. The mushrooms emerge from slashes in the sacks 15 days afterwards and are ready to be sent to shops for sales. The business owners say they are looking to expand their business and use coffee and mushrooms as an environmentally friendly alternative to plastic.
Each day we throw away a lot of coffee, and this coffee to be produced needs a lot of energy from the cultivation to the transportation to Europe, and it's just a pity not to use it more than a few minutes to drink a coffee.
The company has already tested out its fungus-based insulating tiles and received its first order of these tiles for soundproofing purposes. Jacket says they hope to produce 12 tons of the mycelium material per month when they gather enough investment. The business owner says there is no shortage of raw material as coffee is widely consumed in Belgium. Jacket says the innovation can dramatically cut down on plastic waste.
China launches three astronauts to its Tiangong space station as its construction enters a critical phase. The three blasted off from a launch center in northwestern China. They are the second group of astronauts to head to the space station since its construction began in April 2021. They will stay there for 6 months. The space station is planned as a three-section structure. The core module was launched in April, and two more components will be sent into space in July and September. The new mission will oversee the integration of the three parts. The crew's commander has described the task as a pivotal battle in the construction of Tiangong, which is planned to be completed by the end of 2022.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Colombia's long hunt for a fabled Spanish ship, San Jose Galleon, that sank centuries ago, comes to an end. But the mission leads to two more nearby shipwrecks filled with treasures.
We have found two additional ships, one ship that is from the colonial period and another that, from the point of view of preliminary analysis, corresponds to the Republican period of our history. We also have related vessels, around a dozen similar boats, that will be located by our Navy.
The colonial-era vessels were found near Colombia's Caribbean port of Cartagena. A remotely operated vehicle reached 900 meters beneath to capture the shipwrecks and treasures inside them. San Jose Galleon sank in a deadly battle against English warships in 1708, taking with it billions in treasure. The Colombian president says the findings will be preserved and protected until extraction is done completely. The riches will then be displayed in museums.
Colombian scientists managed to reproduce an endangered species of frog, bringing it back from the brink of extinction. The scientists were able to reproduce 29 specimens of Lehman's poison frog after years of investigations and experiments using a lab built specifically for this species. They have released the frogs into the Colombian Pacific region with the hope of starting its repopulation.
We observe how the frogs adapt to this ecosystem, which is theirs, but it is a constant monitoring. And the idea is that of these first 29 frogs at the moment, there are really many more little frogs, and now we can tell the world that they are not in danger of extinction.
The scientists, however, warned that this particular species of frog is very difficult to reproduce or maintain under human care. They are also worried about the illegal trade of the frogs, which has already played a key role in pushing the rare species towards extinction. Colombia is home to over 700 frog species, more than any other country in the world except Brazil.
Chinese scientists are establishing a meteorological monitoring station at an altitude of 8,800 meters on Mount Komolangma, the world's highest peak on the China-Nepal border. The 13 members of the research team started the trek towards an 8,300-meter base camp on Mount Komolangma from a 7,028-meter camp on Tuesday morning. They reached the camp in the afternoon and went on the last section of the arduous journey up on Wednesday morning. If the station is established successfully, it will replace the one at an altitude of 8,430 meters set up by the British and U.S. scientists on the mountains in 2019. It will be the world's highest of its kind, according to the Chinese Academy of Sciences.
A bridge too scary for many, but just the right place for those with a head for heights. Vietnam has opened the world's longest glass bottom bridge to the public.
The now recorded longest glass bottom cliffside pathway, and it's spectacular, the engineering required to build that into the side of a cliff but maintain all the features of nature, the greenery, the rock, has been an amazing project, very successful, and I think it will attract a lot of tourists.
The White Dragon Suspension Bridge fittingly opened with a dragon dance. The structure is longer than the previous record holder in China and has two sections. One stretches over 630 meters between two mountains, while the other runs around a cliffside. Visitors can look straight down at the valley 150 meters below. The structure is safe and made from three layers of 40 millimeter tempered glass. The contemporary ceramics exhibition kicks off at the Villa d'Atres Art Foundation near the French city of Avignon. The exhibit showcases nearly 130 artworks of all sizes. Some are so big they are put on display outdoors. The foundation has curated these modern forms from roughly 100 artists from all over the world. The exhibit displays an exceptional diversity of eclectic works presenting sophisticated skills and artistry. Participating artists say working with clay and playing with glazes always produces a unique item that often generates a profoundly universal reaction. The goal of the event is to show how ceramic art has returned to the forefront of the contemporary art scene.
A man in the city of Soran in Iraq's autonomous Kurdistan region has become a local celebrity for a rather peculiar feature on his face. Hussein Abdullah Ahmed is famous for a record-breaking length of his mustache. Ahmed has been going by the name Mr. Mustache for decades now. His mustache has reached a length of 2.4 meters, making him a well-known man in the city he hails from. His son says, however, that his father's unusual feature is nothing new for him.
I've always known my father likes this since I was born, although there were times when I had seen his mustache short. My dad is famous for his mustache, and we're proud of him.
Ahmed admits his mustache troubles him while working on the farm or trying to sleep, but to avoid the trouble, he either ties it from behind or stuffs it under his clothes. The 73-year-old man is not planning to get rid of his facial hair, which he hasn't trimmed since 1994. He seems to be enjoying the ride of fame as people stop him on the streets to take selfies with him.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear friend, ladies and gentlemen, salamu alaikum, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran, and today we're going to speak about extravagance in the view of Islam.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body.
every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please leave you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Today, Wednesday, is the 14th of Zilqa'dah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 25th of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 15th of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we'll listen to chapter Al-Ghafir, verse 28.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وقال رجل مؤمن من آل فرعون يكتم إيمانه أتقتلون رجلا أن يقول ربي الله وقد جاءكم بالبينات من ربكم وإن يك كاذبا فعليه كذبه وَإِنْ يَكُ صَادِقًا يُصِبْكُمْ بَعْضُ الَّذِي يَعِدُكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي مَنْ هُوَ مُسْرِفٌ كَذَّابٌ.
And a believing man from the family of Pharaoh, who concealed his faith, said, "Do you kill a man merely because he says, 'My Lord is Allah,' while he has brought you clear proofs from your Lord? And if he should be lying, then upon him is the consequence of his lie. But if he should be truthful, there will strike you some of what he promises you. Indeed, Allah does not guide one who is a transgressor and a liar."
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse treats of another episode in the history of Moses, Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, and Pharaoh, which is solely attested in this chapter. It is the story of the believer of Pharaoh's family, one of his kith and kin, who acknowledge Moses' call to monotheism. If a believer proceeds toward transgression of bounds and telling lies, he will certainly lose divine guidance. And if you happen to act likewise, he will be deprived of his guidance.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light. You guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
Extravagance in the view of Islam. Islam encourages believers to be balanced in all aspects of life. The Almighty has blessed us with many beautiful things that we can use and enjoy, but to use these blessings wastefully or even inappropriately is an abuse of those blessings. It goes against gratitude to Allah for the blessings and transgresses the rights of others in society who also use the same resources. Living a moderate and frugal life should be the ideal way of living for each and every Muslim, because it is the only way that is in harmony with the basic principles of Islam. It is the responsibility of every individual, family, and society as a whole to think for a moment about those who do not have access to the basic needs of life, before spending a penny. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about extravagance. At the same time, if someone doesn't want to, has too much money, he or she may spend some portion of the money on the needy people, and in this way, not only helping other people and showing practical sympathy with other people, may be beneficial for the benefactor, for those people who do this. At the same time, it helps other people not suffer too much from economic starvation and economic hardships or pressures. In this regard, some of the causes of extravagance may be highlighted. One of them is ignorance. One of the important aspects to be considered regarding extravagance is ignorance. People are simply ignorant about where to spend their money and where not to spend their money. But nobody is perfect intellect, for sure, other than the infallibles and God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those people, who feel happy because of spending too much money on things and not that essential, or things that are really very life exuberances, they find that, it proves that they cannot come up with good calculations, economic calculations in their lives. And they are really very, very forgetful of the status and conditions of the needy. So this is a kind of ignorance. Another one is showing off. Some people may want to simply show off to other people that we are well-to-do, we are rich people, we are well-to-do family, we are capable of buying, purchasing whatever we may wish or we may desire, even quite whimsically. This kind of showing off leads only to making other people developing their psychological complexes and being really watchful for any time to take revenge from the community, from other people.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
The harms of israf for the individual. One of the harms of israf is distraction. Israf or extravagance in any form sends people toward distraction. How? The Quran has detailed this reality in the following way. Then we fulfilled our promise to them, and we delivered them and whomever we wished, and we destroyed the profligates. Punishment in the next world. This is another harm. Those who exceed the divinely set limits and consider them as being unimportant will be punished in the next world. The Quran has mentioned the following in this regard. Thus do we requite him who is a profligate and does not believe in the signs of his Lord. And the punishment of the hereafter is severer and more lasting. To avoid extravagance. Focus on food in your refrigerator and in your plate too. Buy as much as food as much you think you can easily consume. There is no need of piling up the refrigerator with food and vegetables and then later on throwing them because they are expired. Likewise, add food in your plate as much you think you would finish easily. And please stop being brand conscious. Not every of your possessions should be branded, starting from your shoes, dress, accessories, till your car. If it suits you and works well, it's perfect. No need of paying a huge extra charge for just a tag of a brand.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in two ayats for this evening. One is in Surah Araf where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya bani Adam, khudu zinatukum inda kulli masjidin. Wa kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu innahu la yuhibbul musrifin. O children of Adam. It's interesting, he doesn't say, Ya ayuhal ladhina amanu. He's addressing the human society in general. It's a human problem. He says, use your zenith, things to adorn yourself. There is nothing wrong in it, to make yourself presentable, especially at the time of prayers. Here, kulli masjidin does not necessarily mean masjid. Whenever you get ready to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to be with zenith in a presentable form, whether it is at masjid or at home or anywhere else. But then he says, وَكُلُوا وَشْرُبُوا, and eat and drink. But then, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. The words, كُلُوا وَشْرُبُوا, eat and drink, there was no need for it. Even if there was not a single ayat in Quran which says, كُلُوا وَشْرُبُوا, we will be eating and drinking anyway. It's part of human nature. Allah has created us that way, that we will need to eat and drink to survive. But here the main command is not eat and drink. It is actually after that. وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Eat and drink. I have created you with that. Even Anbiya came with the need to eat and drink. But then the issue is لَا تُسْرِفُوا. Do not be extravagant. Why? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Because Allah doesn't love those who are musrifin, who do israf. And it's a serious issue for us. If Allah doesn't love those who do israf, this is something worth our attention, consideration, seriously.
That was all from today's special. And for this episode, we spoke about extravagance. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi aman Allah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard
was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.